This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a three-time champion, check out my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Are you talking to yourself or is this from some
Godfather
movie I've never seen? Oh, okay. Sorry.
Have you seen The Godfather,
yeah,
I hope?
Once or twice.
It's Mike Shope.
I did not see it until my 30s, but then I became obsessed with it.
And the Bulldog.
I've never been obsessed with it, so I don't know it well enough to have picked up on that.
I did not care for The Godfather.
What?
Did not care for The Godfather.
I don't think it's a movie where it's like, oh, it's good. Godfather, yeah, I saw that. It was good. It was good. The Godfather, I saw that. I liked it. Like that's just right. You didn't really see it.
I'm not in the way of it being an all-time great. I never got obsessed with it.
Explain yourself. What didn't you like about it?
It insists upon itself.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
It's not personal. It's strictly business.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
There it is, right there in a sound. How about some NFL schedule speculation? Can I talk anybody into that? What would you like to see play?
I'm even in a cranky mood about football right now because of the Eagles. What are you doing to me, Eagles? I got a running back that wants a new contract. I don't need you giving Saquon Barkley. You just gave him a big contract last year. Why do you got to muck this up for me, Philadelphia?
Big Dom
is probably behind it. Big Dom. Let's give Saquon some more money. Jerk.
I love it. By the way, so Friday I'll be in Philadelphia, and I just happened to notice there was a card show. I think this has happened before. Like, this is the weekend I go, and this is maybe the weekend of this Philly card show. And I just looked at the names. Hurts, Sirianni, like all half the Eagles roster seems to be, like, booked for this card show. And Big Dom.
What? It stopped. You said, say Sirianni again.
Sirianni. Oh,
it didn't work.
Okay.
My iPad does this. When you say Siri, it gets this sort of like rainbow. There it is. Rainbow glow around here. I'll show the
You said it this time.
I said it. And when you said Sirianni that time, my iPad went like, what do you want?
can I have something?
Let me shut that down.
What do I want? Anyway, Big Dom is on the list.
Of course he is.
He signs.
As he should. I mean, he's a star. He's in every camera shot. He's everywhere, Big Dom.
I love the Eagles thing. May I just quickly make sure I keep this quick, compare it to something I did in a fantasy league? So Howie Roseman, he's supposed to be the best.
Mm-hmm.
And like the smart cap people are like, this is nothing. It's always about 2029 for Philadelphia.
Right.
Void years at the end.
Yep.
They're trolling the Giants, maybe. Like, it doesn't matter. They're rewarding him. It's not a problem in any way that they did it. What it also is what you're saying, I think, what you're implying, is how it resets the market.
Yeah, I did not need that right now.
I'm in a league where I hope this makes sense. By position, the highest waiver bid of the previous season on a position becomes the franchise tag amount for the next year.
Okay.
We have contracts and franchise tags. So if somebody, if you have 1,000 fake dollars, if you bid $500 fake dollars on a waiver running back, you know, somebody, there's an injury, Jordan Mason or somebody last year because McCaffrey doesn't play. You bid like half or more of your budget on a guy. The high number from the season, the high bid, is next year's cap number for running backs, right?
Mm-hmm.
And 1 year, I had all this money. I had a dream season. Nobody got hurt. Didn't really need to use waivers. I was good. And I had all this money left. And I just spent it all the last week on a guy.
You loaded up at the trade deadline.
To
basically
make the cap number, because I knew I wouldn't have a problem.
Right.
So I just made it everybody else's problem. If you wanted to franchise a running back the next year, it was going to cost you like $800.
Mm-hmm.
It was going to cost you almost all of your money. That's what the Eagles did.
That's what the Eagles did today. Yes. So, yeah, I mean, why would I? I'm not worried about their cap. I'm not worried about how they're going to make it all work. I'm not worried about the cash flow of their ownership, which apparently is endless. So good for them. I just know I left home. It's one of these things where, you know, we're probably very similar in this way throughout the day. Like we're looking for a long bike ride. Looking for you know, watch some terrible TV while you're riding a stationary bike in your basement, and then I'm scrolling. Like Davante Adams, Alan Lazard, that's funny. Trade, sure. And then I leave for work, and I get here, and the first thing I see is James Cook with the eyeball emojis on the Saquon Barkley. So I'm like, no, come on.
It took him no time.
No, he's right there.
Like, right there.
That's where, that was where I saw the news. I didn't even see the, any of the, like, I log in here at work and up pops James Cook. Like, ooh.
My, you saw it through Cook.
Googly eyes.
You saw it through Cook's eyes.
Yes.
There it is.
Which, if I were him, I'd also be making googly eyes at that. That would be great. For him, it's, I don't know, it's great for me or the Bills, really.
It's going to be fine. The Eagles are the Kings. The Bills are up there. The Bills have consistently managed to avoid any sort of contract distractions, you know, at least that we know about. And they've had a very smooth trip these last few years, which is to their credit. And I don't think this will be any different. I guess who knows? Who knows how, like, serious Cook is about all this, or the Bills? And just like, I mean, it's almost not even worth saying, but like, say the guy doesn't really want to play ball anymore. Oh, $20 million. I upped it. There, eyeballs. It's whatever. That's not the case. But we don't know. I just think there will be a 3 or so year deal for Cook, maybe 4. Would that be so bad? And it doesn't top Barkley, but it might get to like half or a little better. I mean, it did go up today.
That's what I'm saying. That's so, all I'm saying. Like, if we were prepared to, and if he was prepared to, like, you know, 15, I surely would like 10 and a half or 11, you know, whatever. Whatever he's prepared to live with, if that's what he's really doing here. That changed to me. Like, if I'm him, I'm now thinking, like, if I was already of that mind to, like, try to get my piece of the pie now, this is my chance. It's going to be my one chance here. It's my second contract. I'm a running back. I know my brother's been – I know the lay of the land. And I'm not disrespecting him trying to get what he can get while he can get it. It's just not – it's not healthy for a football team. I'm trying to fill holes. I need pass rush, and I need whatever I need. And I don't know if it was going to cost 10 and now it's going to cost 12. That's not ideal for me. That's all I'm saying. I mean, it's a pretty obvious point that I need to be clarified.
But it's not a big difference.
No, but it's already – we all love him, well, to varying degrees. You're fine.
I like him.
Fans like him. Fans love him. He's awesome. He's been making $5 million. So get ready for as soon as he fumbles one time making $12 million, like he's the Antichrist, because that's how it works. So like the joyride sort of stops to an extent. Because your mistakes, you now you got to live up to that, and boy, you better.
He had one fumble lost, or just one fumble period.
Yeah, he did a great job hanging onto the ball this year,
and they recovered all their fumbles. He had 4 the year before. And what's going to happen? I don't know what the numbers will be, but it'll be a big raise. And you're talking about public perception that could change. Makes sense. You know, he ran for 1,009 yards on a team that scored all the points, 16 touchdowns. What next year will be about the same, only 7 touchdowns. Yep. The touchdown regression will come. The year before, he scored 2.
Right. I wonder what – can you find quickly – this is something I could have asked you in a break, but I didn't know it was actually going to come up. Like, what percentage of snaps did Barkley play for the Eagles last year?
Oh.
Because, like, if I'm the Bills and I want to try to, like, look, I want this player, I value this player, and I'm saying that as me, Chris Parker, radio guy, and as the Bills right now. Like, I like you, I value you, I see your importance. I'm not loaded with offensive, explosive players. So you're important, you matter, but I'm also going to try to make this as good as I can for me, and something I think I would want to be armed with is, well, you played 51% of the snaps, and Barkley plays 74% of the snaps. That's a pretty big difference.
Well, then why don't you just play me more?
Is James Cook physically prepared?
I know why they don't do it.
Yeah.
I would say if I were James Cook, that would be my retort. It's up to you how many snaps I play, not me.
Well, they're asking for...
I'm not begging off the field.
I think they're asking for trouble if they start doing that, because he is not Saquon Barkley. Like, physically, he's just not. So, they've used him, I think, maybe exactly optimally used him these past 2 years. I wouldn't want to change that. And does the contract come with that, too? Like, do I not need Ty Johnson anymore because James Cook is making $10+ million a year? I don't know. I liked everyone having a role, and so I don't know. But the snap count thing would be a thing for me as you're trying, because it doesn't make it a direct comparison.
I like that Scott Barrett, friend of mine, he's been on the show a few times, brought up Derrick Henry today about Barkley. Like, he basically said, do we all just forget that Henry was kind of more efficient and almost as productive, prolific? Couldn't decide for a half second there which I wanted. I'm just trying not to say Siri again. 1,921 yards.
You're okay.
For Henry.
Yeah.
Who, by the way, played 57% of the snaps for Baltimore.
Mm-hmm.
Passing downs, he comes off, you know, when they're trailing, which wasn't often. He comes off, but yeah. Yeah, okay, well, opinions are welcome. I don't feel like the Bills are really headed for a problem there. Worst case scenario is what? Worst case scenario is he doesn't show. The Bills won't flinch on the dollars. They make to their eyes the best offer, and Cook says no, and he doesn't come in. Guess what? The team will be exactly as good. Whether it's Ty Johnson, Ray Davis, there'll be somebody else. There'll probably be a draft pick. The team will be exactly as good. Boy, I'm saying it twice, mm-hmm. and I want to say almost exactly as good.
Yeah, because
pretty much as good.
Yeah, I mean I think that's a lot to assume until I see what they do with the rest of the passing game. He made big. He was not just like a, you know, serviceable. I mean, he made plays this year. Like, he ran away from people. He did things that I didn't see coming. I didn't think he had that in his tool set. I don't know. I guess a part of this is, to me, buying high, which is what you're doing. Like, I it's risky. He wants what he wants. He knows the time is right, and so he's pushing it. And again, I don't begrudge him that at all. If the Bills wanted to put it off, I would respect it. Because you are absolutely signing him off of, if he had the reverse happen, he had 16 touchdowns season before, and this year had two, is he tweeting $15 million?
No.
Of course not. And the Bills are probably like, hey, when are you going to come talk to us about a contract? Because we'd love to do something with you off of your two-touchdown year. So I'm just not assuming he's going to be even a 10-touchdown-a-year guy.
No.
And that's the problem with buying him right now if you're the Bills. And they do not have to. So I don't know how this will go. You've said it. I've said it. They've had a very smooth ride here for the entirety of Allen's career here. As far as we know it, there has been very little turbulence in this way. Jordan Poyer is really it. We were worried Milano was going to leave, but that didn't get past free agency.
What even was Poyer? Like a week of drama?
Yeah, like, hey, he's going to go out and see what's out there.
And he didn't
come into camp that one year.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking
of. Right, it was, you know, but it wasn't,
I think you always just thought he'll be here eventually.
And which then, he was.
Which he was, right? So anyway, they've had none of that. And they could choose to create that if they just don't want to get there. And I would respect that too. Like, again, I appreciate where he's at. He should try to get what he can because running backs do get just sort of run over and forgotten in this sport. But if I'm the Bills and I've got another year of his contract and the franchise tag at my disposal if I want it, which for 1 year, yes, is a big number, and it's only going up with Barkley getting this contract, but it's still not making a long-term, you know, commitment in the teens of millions of dollars.
Cook doesn't show. You have a collection of running backs that include Davis and Johnson, say, and somebody new. And they throw the ball more. I'm fine.
Imagine that.
I mean, 16 touchdowns, he did run away from people. And he made some good plays. I'm definitely not saying he didn't. Those would have been scoring drives, too. They just would have taken longer. Because you have Allen on the team, and he would have thrown passes, and hopefully there'd be somebody good that can catch the ball. That's not a given. Somebody new that's good that can catch the ball is not a given. And if it's not already redundant, this point that I've just leaned on for now more than a year, that their actions starting late in the 23 season told you what was coming, which was a more run-oriented team. And Cook benefited from that. The line was very good and stayed healthy, and he benefited from that. And was this a season that would have you think that that will shift? No. Like, it worked. It just worked fully. So they're going to want to do it again, and that's part of maybe Cook's leverage, mm-hmm. is because they should, logically, they would think that they probably need him.
He'll never look like he matters more.
There it is. That's right.
I can't imagine him looking like he'll matter more at any point in his career to them than he looks like he matters right now. I think it's interesting that we'll see. You know, free agency is a week away or a week from tomorrow, right? The tampering is Monday. Ty Johnson is out there. I'd like to see him back on a, you know, somewhat modest deal. I don't need his boats being lifted up by the Saquon Barkley news. I hope he just wear the same number.
Where are his eyeballs?
But I wonder. Boy, if they were to draft running back rich draft, right?
Yep.
They have Davis. They have Johnson. You would not have, I don't think, I wouldn't anyway. You can do what you want out there. Maybe you want to draft a running back every year, so you can always just assembly line them. I wouldn't count running back as a need for this team at all if Cook is here. If they want to respond to the message sending that Cook is doing, I mean, they got to wait a while. It's a month away or almost 2 months away, but draft a running back in the fourth round in a running back rich draft, which might even equate to like same talent level where you got all your other running backs. Well, Davis for sure. That would maybe get some attention.
Adam Schefter reports that Josh Allen has signed a deal to launch a new media company.
Yeah, I saw that earlier.
You did?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm just seeing it now.
Yeah, I've got some details on that if you want. I've got a quote from the head of Skydance Sports.
Imagine if he said the opposite. All right, go ahead.
Josh has quickly made a name for himself as one of the most exciting and skilled players in the NFL, said Jason Reed, head of Skydance Sports.
True.
Not only is he a uniquely talented player, he's an amazing human being. His vision, determination, and creativity make him a force off the field as well as on, and we are thrilled to be partnering with him as he builds his business outside of the game.
All right, let's go. And it'll be headquartered in Buffalo. No way. It will not be headquartered in Buffalo, New York. It will not be. It will not be a local. Well, we'll see. Let's give it time. Maybe we'll. We will find out.
This report, if it matters, comes from something called the Hollywood Reporter. So I don't know if that means
Schefter has it. Company.
Yeah. Well, the original thing I saw was Alex Werpen.
That's Werpen. Where he is now.
Alex, yeah, your buddy Alex.
He's over there.
Yeah.
At the what? The Hollywood Reporter.
The Hollywood Reporter.
It's a famous publication.
Yeah. They specialize in scripted, unscripted, and branded content. Or excuse me, that's what they're going to be developing with Alan.
Yes.
So, yeah. You want Alan's quote?
The Hollywood Reporter specializes in scripted.
You want Alan's quote on all this, or should we just leave
it? In reporting.
I'm sorry.
I do.
Okay.
Go ahead. I don't know if how much more I'm going to have to say about it. So
I'm excited to partner with a world-class organization like Skydance Sports to further my creative ambitions through storytelling, Alan said. Utilizing my platform to do good and be good is very important to me, and Skydance is an excellent partner who can help me achieve this goal through the creation of compelling content that aims to inspire.
Do good, be good. There it is.
There you go.
Part of the brand. Well, good for Josh Allen. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here, 803-0550. That's not talking about the Sabres right there.
That was 25 minutes of not talking about the Sabres.
We will do more of that.
I was yelling about Big Dom for a little while.
Big Dom. Maybe I'll go get an autograph personalized to you.
That would be really nice.
Will he have the longest line at the show?
If you can get that and then I can get it tattooed on my bicep, that would be awesome.
No promises. Sabres and Sharks, pregame at 6 here on WGR.
Saquon Barkley today is help paving the way for other running backs in the future, creating a new benchmark by which they will try to achieve in the future. With the cap going up, it makes it easier to do. And now we're starting to see, very gradually, running backs achieve some of the value in their contracts. But you're also starting to see in the draft, which later on will equate to deals in free agency.
Somebody write that out for me. Barkley gets paid. Talking about James Cook, Josh Allen, that news just for the last few minutes. Oh, watch out.
The Josh Allen news isn't a new contract, by the way. It's a marketing arrangement.
It is a new contract, but it is not a new Bills contract.
Right.
Watch out. You better not slip. Guys, you're afraid to say it. Too much focus, not on football. If. Not when, if.
Mm-hmm. I see.
That's just going to be sitting there.
Yeah.
Right on a tee.
Yeah.
If he...
wasn't there already with the Hollywood...
He didn't slip.
Yeah, right.
You have to slip first.
I see.
Or even you could predict it. I wouldn't want to do that.
Yeah.
A slip.
I think he's impervious to the slip.
Really?
Slip-proof.
So, it's gone now, so this cannot be put to the test. But today was another day where there was food all over the kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
Donuts, and yesterday there was a king cake with the little baby in it. You ever have that?
That box scared me. I didn't look very closely at that box. I'd never seen anything quite like it. I peered. It had one of those clear cellophane tops on it, and I'm not here for the king cake. I'm out. I don't know what that is. I'm not looking any closer.
One of our coworkers yesterday was eating some of it, and I said, "Did you find the baby?" And he's like, "What are you talking about?" And somebody driving, at least one person right now listening, is like, "What is he? What do you mean? There's a baby in a cake?
I don't know what the hell's
going on." But there's in a king cake, like Mardi Gras. There's a little plastic baby toy that somebody will find. Don't eat it. It's hard plastic. You're not supposed to eat the baby.
It'd be like eating a Lego. Yeah, don't do that.
Right. It'd be very much very similar. Yeah. I imagine. Yeah. Anyway, today, donuts and. There had been other food there.
There was breakfast stuff. I saw an email this morning about breakfast stuff and donuts.
There was a wrap that was open on the wrapper.
I saw that.
Half a wrap that had been there probably for hours. Mm-hmm. I didn't get too close, but mm-hmm. I did write down what would it take for you to eat that. But it's gone. Probably thrown out. It looks like it's been cleaned up out there.
Yeah. Yeah, there were a half a dozen boxes of donuts when we got here. Now, when I last went out there, they were all arranged neatly on a big platter,
yes.
Which I thought was that's nice. It looks nice.
Sounds like somebody touched all the donuts.
That definitely had to happen. Although you could have used the little paper thingies, maybe.
Do you think someone did that?
No. But you could have.
However, somebody, my guess would be Samantha, somebody so minded to neaten the area, maybe would be the a person who would
not
touch them with their own hands.
Soil all the donuts.
Right.
Soil's a little strong.
So it would have taken me a lot to eat the wrap.
I would have to have been snowed in here, working through the night, and then walked out there and seen that. All right, it looks like somebody cut that in half. Like, it didn't look like it had a bite taken out. It looked like it was severed.
At least there's that.
With a utensil of some kind. So, okay. But yeah, I'd have to be working on like 8 hours, 10 hours, 12 hours, no food. Like, oh, look at that. This is some bacon in there. All right.
I got to eat something. I mean,
bacon's fine.
Bacon is fine. Yes. It's probably not going to kill me.
No.
But again, unless you go digging through the garbage.
Yeah, I'm glad that we, didn't get to make that decision.
Did you happen to read Matthew Berry's piece about the combine?
I did.
All right.
I retweeted it.
You did?
Yeah. No comment, just retweeted. I didn't. Oh, this is interesting. Whatever. I retweeted it.
One Bills paragraph.
Mm-hmm.
His Bills source. I feel like that's going to be somebody pretty high up. How many people would Matthew Berry cite as a Bills source? I doubt it would be an assistant coach, unless it's maybe a coordinator, but probably not below the level of assistant coach. Head coach could be. I don't know if he'd be acquainted
could
with
be,
McDermott.
Could be Bean.
Bean would be my guess.
Yeah.
But I don't know. How many other people in the organization would qualify, like somebody that you, the kind of relatively big name reporter, like he's not Schefter, he's more in the fantasy space, but still, would be somebody that would matter enough to you know.
I love thinking about stuff like this. I don't know how interesting it is to our audience, but I think someone, I'm not super familiar, you've probably read Matthew Berry's writing for years because of his fantasy prominence.
Not really.
I've not read a lot of his writing, but I feel like anybody reporting, like, and this is, he's like saying, this isn't like, what's the disclaimer on the piece? It's all just scuttlebutt. It's rumors I heard while in Indianapolis. This isn't reporting. This is going to, anyway.
Man, he said that like five times too.
So, but with that,
Got it.
With that said, I think if it's anyone below the level you're talking about, like below coordinator, prominent assistant coach, it's just a source. I think Bill's source means it's. But my immediate thought when I saw Bill's source was that's Bean.
Yeah, I mean it could be.
I don't have to be right about that, but that's just how I would do it.
It could be what you said, or it could be just like, again, like gossip around the Bills. You don't even have to. You don't need a source if you're writing like that.
Right.
So you would not even be that specific. Another reason, I think, to think the same way you do, which is maybe the GM is telling him this. I guess we could find out if Cooper. The prediction was Matthew Berry threw a Bill source. Kincaid bounces back, and Cooper just bounces.
Right.
Kincaid bounces back. He was more hurt than you know. And they think that this Bill source supposedly gave Berry the impression that maybe Cooper is washed.
Yeah, might be done, I think is the phrasing used in the piece. And Kincaid is like a, you can probably get him as a bargain in fantasy drafts. You should consider it because he'll be back is the way I took what he was writing there.
I'm not sure I'm going to want to buy that.
Mm-hmm.
I can believe that he was hurt. We even saw it.
Mm-hmm.
He missed time. Like that was not really a secret. With Davis, it was more of a secret. Not. I don't mean that like in a certain way, but he was hurt early in the season. And he played the rest of the year, and we didn't spend a lot of time talking about whether he was kind of disabled on the field. Davis,
right? Kincaid, you could see Kincaid had a huge brace on. I don't remember Davis having any accessories whatsoever. Different injury. I think Davis was a foot or an ankle, and Kincaid was a knee. So he had the bulky brace for a little while. Like you could see evidence of it more readily than I think you could see it with Davis.
What, speaking of evidence, we just don't have much evidence that Kincaid is the player they said he would be. They haven't used him when it started anyway. They weren't using him as such. And then the second year, like, there just were very few big plays. The idea was, or else it's not a first-round pick. The idea was that he would be a difference maker in their offense. And really, he hasn't been. He hasn't been terrible, but he hasn't been that. And so that's kind of where I land when it comes to him right now is, I don't know if like their scheme is, they've got a tight end already. Shakir is locked up for a big contract extension. He's their number one receiver. Where is Kincaid? I sort of have the same doubts as a year ago. Last year, I talked myself more into him because, you know, young tight end, and there was really no one else that I wanted to bet on.
And he caught 73 passes as a rookie, which is a really good, I mean, it's not Sam Laporta or the guy from this year whose name has escaped me for some reason, Bowers, but still, it was really good.
It was fine. It wasn't special. Agree?
By the standard in the league now, no, it wasn't.
It wasn't special. So there might be a PR campaign, you know, coming our way that Kincaid really just was not physically there.
Right. You're going to want one or the other. Well, I should say what the two things are. Right? Big plays. Yeah, great. Stretching the seam. He's an athlete. He knows how to work coverages and find the soft spot. And, like, yeah, that'll work. And it's weird that Allen missed him so much. Like, the miss percentage was egregiously high on him, way more so than any other guy on the team. So that was weird. But, so, okay, if I don't get the big plays, because touchdowns are big plays too, even if they're from 3 yards away or 10 yards away. Like red zone, like, you know, think about, I know, the gold standard, Kelce, right? Like you're third and goal at the 8. Like Kelce all day long. Like that's it. And you, that's not happening either. So something's going to have to get going there. Ideally both. You know, it'd be great if he made big plays and, you know, had the odd 30 or 40 yard play mixed in to this. You know, I don't need one every week or anything. That'd be insane. But like just a few would be great. And then, you know, I don't know, a half a dozen touchdowns, 8 touchdowns. Like, come on.
34 games, 5 touchdowns in 2 years. But yes. I don't, by saying all this, like I don't either think that, like, in reaction to the fans, or I guess us and the media, that there's going to be that much criticism of him. Like, I don't think it's going to be like something that needs a reaction to. It's 2 years.
They've won a lot. The injury is extremely believable. Like, it sounds like an excuse. This really, what it is this year, he's got to break through. Then, to me, like I'm not overly worried about him. I would have liked more, you know, either year. Everything I just said. If I don't get, you know, something close to his rookie production with some more touchdowns this year, then you made a bad pick. Like this year is going to really matter. It's year three, and like guess what? Year three afterwards is when you can start talking about these contracts, even with first round picks who have the 5th year option, and I don't know. He's going to have to do something this year to make me want to even talk about that.
That'd be good. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here at 803-0550. Sabres and Sharks pregame at 6. This is WGR. Welcome back. The Sabres host San Jose tonight, pregame at 6. Sharks reporter Sheng Peng tweets that Vitek Vanacek, goalie, will not play tonight because of, quote, trade purposes. Georgiev starts.
Okay.
I didn't know he was on San Jose.
I didn't either. I looked earlier because I was curious about this. But yeah, I just, you know what happened to me? I saw Blackwood first. He's gone. He's in Colorado now. Vanacek, and then I skipped right down to the bottom in the order they're listed on the ESPN.com stats page is Askarov, the guy they acquired from Nashville, who should be their number one next year, I think. I don't know. He's only played 13 games there. So I kind of skipped over Georgiev. But yeah, they might have got him in the trade for Blackwood. I think they sent Blackwood to Colorado. That's where he is now, and they got Georgiev back.
The Sharks are in last in the West, in the league, right?
Yeah, so they're pretty bad.
The Sabres are not going to be inclined to sit guys for trade purposes.
I don't know that Yoki Haru wasn't that already the last two games.
Yep.
You know, he's been scratched a lot anyways, so it doesn't have to be a smoking gun there. They haven't been really around to be talked to much. But I wouldn't be surprised. Samuelsson was scratched too. I hope that was for trade purposes.
That'd be something.
That would be something.
Get out of that.
That would be kind of incredible, I would say. But I don't know if he's nursing something or what. But
I am bracing for the result to be the most disappointing.
The trade deadline?
Yeah. I mean, raise your hand if you are also kind of expecting the result to be the most disappointing, whatever it is. We don't all agree necessarily on what we want to happen or not happen. But if they could get out Samuelsson, even Cousins, and also trade Zucker, even Greenway, Yoki Haru, like, to me, that's a good day. I'm still at the bottom.
Yeah.
Like, I know it's 14 years. I'm still at the bottom. That's what you do when you're at the bottom. If Cousins is maybe more of a discussion because, you know, it's gone downhill pretty hard, but that's a guy that if somebody wants to trade for him, that's because they want to make him a core piece at his price.
Mm-hmm.
That wouldn't just be like to be better this year. I mean, that's you're making a choice on a core player. It's not even Mittelstadt, who didn't have a contract for long. You know, like, this has already been written.
Right.
So if that's out there, I think I would do well, or could do well in that trade, because it's just gotten the Sabres just have a special way, don't they?
Mm-hmm.
Cousins, just guys through the years where you have, it seems right to get really excited, and then it just flops.
He is the biggest mystery on the entire team to me. I think he really is. Because I believe he cares and wants to do well. Like, his reputation showing up here, I thought he was exactly what they needed, and he has that 60-point year with 30 goals. Like, okay, he's kind, you know, he's not an enforcer, but he's tough enough. Like, he's a guy that can, you know, hang in there. And I mean, he got you know, his career's not been the same since he got pummeled by Hathaway at the beginning of the season before last, and now he can't even do that right. Like, he just gets his ass kicked. Last night, The shorthanded goal.
Yeah.
I mean, he got put in a tough spot there, but physically, he got manhandled off the puck.
Marty, I thought, had that right, which is you need to play a more defensive, sort of make a different choice with the puck on that play, rather than just sort of freeze and
But get, he get just got eliminated so easily there. I just, even if the scoring dropped off and he went from 60 points to 50 and 30 goals to 20, if he was rugged and could defend himself and teammates when it's called for and not get pushed off the puck like that, I'd be like, all right, look, $7 million, the cap's going up. You know, he put an A on him. He's gritty. Like,
I'd be
okay. I'd be arguing against people who might be mad at him because he doesn't score 30 anymore and never became 40 goal scorer guy. But the physical parts of his game have completely fallen apart. I don't know. I cannot understand what happened to him. I just do not get it at all.
I wish I knew, but one reasonable theory, it's just not a team that inspires. And that's not an excuse for a guy, but they have been losing for so long. It takes a special kind of motivation from within to put that out of your mind. And I just, a part of me wouldn't blame any of them.
I wonder how much grief he got inside for calling them soft when he called them soft. I know it was that halfway through, whatever, it was somewhere within the last couple of years. I know it wasn't this year, it was sometime last year. He used that phrasing, and it's been kind of widely circulated that Adams pushed back on that pretty hard. I wonder if privately Cousins got dressed down for that, and that's a moment, like, for me, if I work there, right, and you want my best, you want me to bleed for you, and you're going to tell me not to call it like I see it when my team is melting like ice cream in the sun on a regular basis, that might take something out of me.
Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, at 803-0550. This is WGR.